You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
At least he's honest. He's Pastor John from St. Paul's, which is an Anglican church.
Yes, sir.
And for years I kind of thought, well, Anglican, that means maybe on the, are they religious or do they really know Jesus? And find out that you're a, what you would call, you know, this may define you too, may not really define you, but charismatic. You believe in the, you don't believe in cessation. You believe that the Spirit is alive and healthy, and you actually have a healing service at your church every Thursday at 11 o'clock in Vero Beach on Flame Vine.
Yeah, 999 Flame Vine Lane.
That's amazing, 999. So he, Pastor John has graciously come in here today to talk about the greatest story ever told.
Yeah.
Going to talk about Christmas.
Right.
It's a great time of the year. Whether it's the legitimate time when he was born up, doesn't really matter. The point is, it's a time where, what a great accolade, or I don't know what the right term is, that at to celebrating the God who gave everything to us. If you think about it, God's nature is giving. He gives and gives fruits and vegetables and life and breath and babies and wolves and dogs and kitty cats and chickens and cows that moo and weird beings and the mammals in the ocean. It just goes on and on. Flowers. And so, and then so much so that he says, how do I, people have a free will. They ate from the tree of knowledge. How do I let them know that I love them? Well, you can say you love you. How many people lay down their life for you? Mm-hmm. You know, if a guy was shooting outside this window right now, would I jump in front of that to take the bullet so you could live mm-hmm. and continue to minister to your congregation?
Would you?
Well, I don't know. only God knows. But the point is, though, he said, how can I tell you that I love you? Well, I'll die for them.
Right.
I'll set up a standard with Moses. Here are the laws. You break the laws. Nobody keeps the laws. You're all sinners. All have sinned. I tell you what, though, I'll come, pay the price, and then you have free will. You can either accept an eternal friendship with me or reject me.
Yeah.
I will not force myself upon you. Pretty and came good, in the form of a little baby.
Pretty solid summary of the gospel. Like, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends.
Yeah. And as we get older, I know you're about 10 years my junior, but as I've gotten older, you realize the greatest joy in life. I mean, you're a dad. How many children do you have? Three?
I have three.
A boy and two girls?
Boy and two girls.
And did you not find from a young man that maybe was more focused on self, as most of us are, that by having those children, you died to self and found joy in serving them and your wife?
Yeah, and I would say, yeah, it started with getting married. And I continue to be very inspired by Charlie Kirk, who was encouraging a generation of young men to get married and have more children than you can afford. This is what he said. And
I wish I'd heard that. I was always going to wait till I had enough.
Yeah. It's a powerful message for this generation. And I think especially young men, you know, marriage grows up young men in a hurry. And that's certainly what it did for me. And so it began with marriage to my wife. And
did something greater than self to live and die for.
Yeah, and I realized, you know, you go into marriage thinking, oh, this, well, I'm going to be fine. You know, this is going to
be
easy.
Fine.
And yeah, it's going to be great. And then you realize just how hard it is. And then you start having children. And yeah, Whoa. It's beautiful and it's full and everything else. But you are tested beyond your personal capacity to handle it. And you have to grow up. You have to mature quickly.
I drove up to go to Books a Million while Barbara went to Hobby Lobby up in Vieira. It's about an hour and 15-minute drive north of here. And so I get up there, and I didn't buy it because they only had one copy left of Charlie Kirk's new book. Do you know anything about it? Well, I got to tell you, I'll buy you a copy. I tell you what. It's, guess what it's about? It's the one who has his hand up like this, you know? It's all about the Sabbath. What?
Right, yeah.
That he had come to this, whatever it is, this conclusion or knowledge that it's all about the Sabbath. And by keeping the Sabbath, it, you know, starts at a half an hour before sunset. You've been to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So you know Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath, peace on the Sabbath, Shabbat Shalom.
Mm-hmm.
And at a half an hour before dark on Friday, then everything closes up tight. Right. Then all day Saturday, about a half an hour before sunset on Saturday, right. things begin to open up, and the party begins. But it's a total dedication. So I'm really looking forward to you reading that, and me reading, and maybe going over that.
Good. Yeah, I'd like that.
But not like the Jews, though, because the Jews, you know, the Jews in the days of old on the Sabbath, it says that they're not supposed to leave their land. Mm-hmm. So the Jews would take pebbles, mm-hmm. and they'd collect them, put them in their pockets, and then they'd throw a pebble ahead of them, mm-hmm. step on the pebble. They'd throw another right. pebble. So technically they weren't breaking the law, and therefore you can fool God by going into town by stepping on your pebbles.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But yeah. So we don't want to do it in a perfunctory way or a religiosity way or a religious way, yeah. but in a way that really is a connection to God, right?
The Lord understands that we desperately need rest. Our human inclination is not to rest, to try to squeeze out as much productivity on that seventh day or the first day, and just to, you know, do as much as you can. And of course, where the law abounds, sin abounds all the more. And so you want to really use that as a day of rest and relationship. Yeah.
So, okay, let's get on with the greatest story ever told. We're going to read a portion of the Bible today on the promised Messiah. You know, who beget who? First of all, that was written by the scribes that would wash their hands thrice before they would make any entry, knowing Abraham begat this guy begat this. I used to see as a kid, what is all that about? Well, it's because it was promised that the King of Glory, the Messiah, would come through the loins of King David, mm-hmm. and both fulfilled, we know now because they kept records, both Joseph and Mary came from the lineage of King David. It can't be refuted.
Right. Yep. And I was just studying this the other day, and there are 14 generations between David and Jesus. And today we're reading Luke chapter 2. Is that right?
Whatever you want to read. You're in charge. You're the pastor here.
It's the greatest story ever told.
This is Pastor John from St. Paul's over on the beach, an Anglican church. I'm glad to have you here. Awesome. So go ahead. Why don't you read a portion and we can talk about it or whatever you want.
This is the Gospel of Luke, beginning at chapter 2, verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
How about we reflect on that for a second? Let me ask you this. If somebody was really thinking about it, they go, wait a second. Why didn't these angelic beings, these royalty from heaven, make this appearance in front of an earthly king, nobility, or somebody wealthy? Instead, God picks these guys who it's like, well, the lowest job is being a shepherd, right? Because they have the stink of sheep and sheep dung all around them and everything. So these are the lowliest of the low, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to reflect on that? Why would God take these people to reveal his Messiah born?
The story begins with Caesar Augustus, who was perhaps the most powerful earthly king or emperor the world had ever known. He ruled the world with an iron fist. We know that the Roman army at that time was by far the most powerful army on the face of the earth. And his name, Caesar Augustus, means the exalted one. And so he was...
He didn't want competition.
He was, in essence, worshipped as a god among the Roman people. And so you have... Luke sets this thing up right off the bat as a great irony or a dichotomy. Or, you know, there's this great contrast between the most powerful earthly king or emperor who rules with an iron fist and the greatest king that the world will ever know, who comes in the humblest of form and is born as a baby in the most vulnerable state possible.
And so this guy gets word of this prophetic thing going down and says, hey, we're going to kill. This comes a little later on, right, about killing all the firstborn. But let's continue reading if you want to, Pastor.
Yeah, you're shifting to the story of Herod, but yeah. And but that is an important, an absolutely important part of the story. You want me to just finish the reading?
Yeah, continue on. I mean, not the whole thing, but just portions, you know, so we can reflect.
When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them.
Now, one thing is about Mary is that, remember, Zechariah was a priest, and he was into the Holy of Holies, and an angel appeared to him and said, look, you're going to have a son who's filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, how can that be? My wife's in her 90s, I'm my 90s. You know, he didn't believe the angel and said, because you've not believed me, when that son, by the way, would be John the Baptist. And he said, because you're not believing, you won't be able to speak until the child's born. So he didn't have the faith that would be pleasing to God. Unlike Abraham, who believed the vision when he met the Messiah in the desert, you know, thousands of years earlier, he believed him, and his faith was accounted to him as righteousness. Mary is visited by an angel, says, you're going to have a son. The holiness of God is going to come upon you. Well, I have not known a man, so I don't know how this is possible, but as you say, be it unto me. And it says that her righteousness was counted, I mean, her faith was counted as her righteousness. That's how important faith is to God. And so she believed. Here's this girl, you know, and then Joseph is going to, he's embarrassed. I mean, we didn't have sex, but nobody knows, he's going to trust us. She's with child. And the angel says to him, the child, and tells him the story. And so, and he too believes the angel and doesn't put her away in divorce.
Well, at first he was going to divorce her quietly, right?
Yeah.
And then the angel appears to him, to Joseph, in a dream, and says, do not be concerned about taking Mary as your wife, because the child inside of her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit.
It's a wild story.
And so,
tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care, with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting. It's a new day.
Open the eyes of the blind.